Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, hard-hitting talk radio continues. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, James Edwards, live on your radio. This is the broadcast for January the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2019. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country. But we cannot stand this racism going on everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. They claim that we're the racists, but it just gets worse. So the leader of the NAACP, this guy's name is Bishop Talbert Swan, and he sparked controversy when he basically said, hey, you know what? White women are very happy with white supremacy. Wow. He noted the majority of white women voted for Donald Trump and all these other white people. And then he went on to say that they support bigotry, racism, misogyny, pedophilia, and sexual abuse, pure trash, he says. Anyway, this guy, he said white women are very happy with white supremacy. 53% voted for real Donald Trump. 63% for Illinois senator. 53% for Ron DeSantis in Florida. 59% for Ted Cruz. 76% for Ryan Kemp. A significant amount for Roy Moore. I mean, these white women are off the charts. The only problem is Ted Cruz white?
That's a trick one. I mean, he is somewhat.
You're not allowed to say he's white, is he? Hey, man. Look, if you're Pocahontas, any part of Indian is Indian, right? So are you allowed to say that he's white? Is he white or is he Hispanic or what is Ted Cruz?
He's a little bit, I mean, he's mostly white, sure.
Well,
he's
mostly white. Isn't he half and half?
Well, I mean, what is his father, though? I mean, his father was his father Cuban? Or okay, so, I mean, but see, even then, I mean, there's some white in there somewhere.
What about Donald, then? I mean, is he white?
Yeah, he's white.
Oh, Donald's white. Okay, good. Because I bet if he did a test, he might have more African descent than Pocahontas. What do you think?
Well, it'd be hard to have less.
All right. Well, okay, what about Barack? Is he white?
Now, that's a very interesting question.
Hold on, he's got as much white as Ted Cruz does, doesn't he?
Okay, so that, well, I mean, okay. But
you're not allowed to say that, see?
I don't know if anybody really knows who Barack's dad is, but there's definitely, we know his mother was white, okay? So you could say if you just, if you don't go back.
How do we know that?
I didn't see her deliver him at the hospital.
We don't even know who his mama is. We don't even know if he was at the hospital, man. All right, conspiracy
theories. He might not have been if he was in Kenya.
Conspiracy theories abound, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. You're not allowed to talk about that.
But this is when it's true. I mean, if he was half white and half black, why does he instantly identify as black?
That's the whole point that I'm getting at, and that's the reason that I bring it up. And the reason I bring it up is you're really telling me that Ted Cruz, you could double down on a white man, him and old Marco Rubio, white supremacists? Is that what they are? Is that the problem, that Ted Cruz is a white supremacist?
Everybody's a white supremacist. Like I say, everything in this society now is either racist or causes cancer. And, of course, they continue to use it. I mean, Trump talks about it. Everybody sees it. Every white person sees it. They're scared to death of it because they know there's some real-time repercussions to having that scarlet letter R placed upon your breast. But whites will go out of their way to damage themselves just to avoid this charge. And it's only becoming more and more ubiquitous because it works. I mean, we know it's baseless. We know it's nuts. But why would they get away from it? Why wouldn't they keep you using it more and more and more? Because everything that they do, their opposition just turns into jello and rolls over and it becomes squishy. But I'll tell you about the NAACP. So this is racist now that a little bit more than 50% of white women voted for Donald Trump or Roy Moore, who were by far the best candidates in the race, by far. I mean, it must have had nothing to do with the fact that they were better candidates than Hillary. And the guy, Doug Jones, down there in Alabama, didn't have anything to do that, you know, Trump and Moore, were saying they were pro-life or any of these issues that these white women would hold dear. It didn't have anything to do with that. It's all because they were racist. Well, then, you know, I've got experience with the NAACP, too, once again on CNN. On CNN, I was debating an NAACP spokesman in a different show than the one we were talking about in the first hour. And it was the story about how these five, these just the facts of the story, these five black teenagers,
thugs.
I guess at the time,
thugs.
Or early
Hold
20s,
thugs.
Thugs. Yeah, that's what they were. And they took these two college sweethearts, these two white college sweethearts, Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom. You can look it up. It's called the Knoxville Horror now. It's what it's become known as. And they were on a date, and they kidnapped them, and they mercilessly raped and sodomized them and tortured them and set them on fire and suffocated them. I mean, they brutalized them in the most terrific, unimaginable ways. I don't even know if there's a Hollywood movie that has depicted the kind of horror that these two kids had before they killed them. And I was on CNN, and the NAACP guys, race didn't play a role here. This isn't racist. This isn't a race.
So I got
crime.
A question. If, there, if the tables were turned, it was a couple of, you know, five white thugs. And they were, you know, took two black sweethearts and did the same thing. Would you be just as
well,
in horror?
I brought that up on CNN, and this was their primetime show at the time. Their 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern show. And I said, you know, come on, guy. If this had been five white people attacking and doing it to two black college sweethearts, what happened here, you personally and the NAACP and everybody else in the media would be howling for this to be classified as a hate crime. And, in fact, you wouldn't even have to howl for it because it would have been done on the first day.
By the way, would it be the same horror for you, James?
How do you mean?
Well, let's say it was opposite. Would it be the same horror? Would it be the same as awful?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it would be equally as bad. It would be equally as reprehensible. No, it would be equally bad.
This guy isn't saying that it would be equally bad, is he?
Well, he even said no, I wouldn't. No, it wouldn't be that way, and it wouldn't. You know, this isn't a race. But the whole point I'm bringing this up is so all of that wasn't racially motivated, but white women voting for Roy Moore and Donald Trump by 3% more than they voted for Hillary, right? Or 6% more. I mean,
that's
it's close.
Right.
That is. Incontrovertible racism, but something like
this. I mean, these women are into sex abuse, misogyny. I mean, they're just, you know. I mean, he went on to say they've supported bigotry, racism, misogyny, pedophilia. I mean, this guy is just off the charts.
But you could say all of these crazy things, and it doesn't matter because the media is gonna present it as if it's a thoughtful commentary, and you know there's some seriousness to be considered there, and watch is gonna continue to cower, if it's possible to cower any more than they already do.
Anyway, it's just amazing. All right, let's move to Jewish leaders. They're calling for new editions of the Bible and the Quran, and what they want to do is they want these Bibles of the in the new editions of the Quran and Bible and stuff like that to carry trigger warnings because of highly Semitic or anti-Semitic, I should say, passages in these scriptures. Daily Mail has this, and they say they need a catalog of policies to combat the anti-Semitism, and they've got numerous suggestions here, James, and they have the European Jewish Congress or conference, and they discussed anti-Semitism online in religious texts, and it was in Vienna. This was a couple of months ago, but I saved this just for this occasion. I'm just telling you, it's out of control. They want to basically literally put these anti-Semitic warnings on the Bible and on the Quran to go ahead and carry these warnings. You know, like a cigarette pack says dangerous for your health and all that kind of stuff. They wanted to say, hey, dangerous anti-Semitic messages right here on the Bible, buddy.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Jesus Christ himself had some pretty strong words for the corrupt Jewish leaders of his time. And of course, you don't hear that preached. A lot of these weak-minded churches today will pick and choose what they preach from in the Bible. And they want to conform to the tenets of modern-day political correctness and see which way the wind's blowing as much as any most other people do. So there's some stuff in there that, again, the charge of anti-Semitism is about as baseless as the charge of racism usually is. And I'm not saying that there isn't some racism out there and that there aren't people out there that hate people because of the color of their skin. But in my experience, most of it has been the opposite of what you're led to believe. In most cases that I've seen, it actually manifests itself. It's been a hatred of white people rather than the other way around. But this whole thing about anti-Semitism, I mean, if you point out certain things about certain people, if you even say,
so
you
I got
know,
a question
it's
for
interesting.
You. What's worse, a white supremacist, a black supremacist, an Asian supremacist, a Hispanic supremacist, or a like an Al-Qaeda?
Well, probably Al-Qaeda because they're doing they're blowing things up and doing doing harm. But it's
about the Muslim Brotherhood then?
All of that, but what is the premise?
Brock hangs out with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Good point. Good point, and that's true, or at least he did, or has. The thing about the supremacist charge, though, is what are we talking about here? Are we talking about? I have never met a white supremacist, and by that I mean I have never met a white person who says, you know what, we need to rule over all of these other people. We need to have control over them. If anything, I've met white people who say, you know, all of this diversity, multiculturalism, it just causes conflict. You know, I'd rather just live apart. I've met some people like that, but I've never met. So what is a supremacist? Is it somebody that wants to hate, you know, have other people around just so they can hate them? Or is it somebody that just says, you know what, I kind of like my culture and I appreciate that you respect your culture. Let's appreciate each other's cultures from afar, and we'll visit each other and we'll exchange ideas and debate. But you know, we don't necessarily
Let me explain the point that you need to understand. Let me set the narrative so you're trapped before you can finish your discussion, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's how we're going to do this discussion. We're not going to be open and honest and transparent and candid and bring up the points that you have, because then there might be common sense and people might not just hate each other. Okay, so the way we got to set this stage is there's no such thing as a black supremacist, first of all. So the argument's arbitrary, right?
Yeah, right. They can't exist. Only whites can exist.
And there's no such thing as an Asian supremacist. You got that? Well, there might be. Those guys can't even go to Harvard anymore. But all I'm telling you is, okay, what's going on here, folks? Well, there's other folks getting in the mix. Never mind the blacks and the Jews and everybody else. Hold on. There's more.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, it's getting worse, ladies and gentlemen. So I guess the University of Denver, they're hosting what's called a white privilege symposium, focusing on how white people can hold themselves accountable for being white. Now, James, you need to hold yourself accountable, son. I mean, you're just out of control, buddy.
Yeah, you know what? You're right about that. I do need to hold myself accountable. I need to hold myself accountable to my God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ooh. I need to hold myself accountable to.
Wait a minute, we got a break coming up. Boom! Shut you right on down.
To my wife and children, everybody needs to be held accountable. But what we don't need to be held accountable to is the passing fancies of a very degenerate and corrupt society, the one that we live in, and it's a shame. And that the only time you can go to a conference where the word white is mentioned is if it's a conference that's sole exclusive focus is to browbeat and denigrate and tell how bad and evil white people are. And again, we're talking about all white people here, even the ones who think they're not. And that's it. I mean, you can even have these people who their life's mission is to hate themselves and to work against their own group interest. But even them, they will say, you know, it's just I'm working, like we said before, I'm working on my racism. You know, you're still racist. You still got these microaggressions that you don't even know, this latent racism that you can't even see or feel. But it's in there, and you just got to keep going to these white privilege conferences and paying money to really understand how bad you are.
Yeah, let me explain. They got all these seminars at the symposium, how you can hold yourself accountable, James. And the first thing that
I'll
shouldn't
probably skip
do,
that one.
The first thing you shouldn't do in the political world is make any arguments. Because you know any argument you come up with is going to be racist at its core, right?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you buck it, I can tell you exactly what will happen to you because I've lived through it for the last 15 years being a public figure on the radio and I guess you could say lucky enough or misfortunate enough to have made a reputation for myself or at least to have had my work become well known. And it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. If you go against this emperor has no clothes type of mentality that they want to force you to pretend to believe, it's not going to be an easy road. Let's not kid ourselves.
All right. Santa Barbara City College. I guess this board of trustees president down there says goodbye to the Pledge of Allegiance over white nationalism and history. See this?
Oh, are we talking about the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag? That's the Pledge of Allegiance to white nationalism? Well,
yeah.
We knew that was coming. I mean, that'll happen. I mean, already, I think at Notre Dame, I mean, we know Columbus is one of those evil white guys. I mean, what did he do to help anybody? But they were covering up, you know, they have this beautiful, ornate granite monuments on the sides of buildings, you know, this beautiful architecture at the University of Notre Dame, and they're covering it up with like sheets now to hide. And I'm not talking about like some random ne'er-do-wells. I'm talking about the university administration covering up Columbus. And there's, you know, you in San Francisco, somewhere in California, there was this white missionary who had his hand down reaching out to help pick an Indian up. And they said that's a symbol of white supremacy. This Christian misogynist was trying to pick the Indian up so he could convert him to so he could go to heaven instead of hell. And, you know, we got to get rid of that. So, yeah, I mean, the American flag, I mean, that was always going to happen.
Yeah, so get rid of the flag, put warning labels on the Bible. All right, now there's this chick named Megan Neely. And I guess she's a Duke assistant professor. And I guess she had to step down from her administrative position, James, because she sent out an email advising students not to speak Chinese everywhere. So here's what happened. She's hanging out in her office, and two professors come to her, and they said, hey, man, we got all these. Can you pull up a bunch of photos? And so she does. And they start saying, listen, these group of students, and they're all pointing to Chinese students, they're speaking Chinese super loud in all the public areas and stuff like that. And it's going to hurt their job prospects, and we're not going to let them advance in the program. Because you know that if you're an Asian, they can be a racist against you too, right? I mean, just ask Harvard if you don't believe me. Right. And so the Asians are being, I don't know what you want to call it, anti-Asian or whatever. Okay. So anyway, the bottom line is this professor sent out this email telling these Chinese people, hey, you know what? You need to speak English and it'll help you get a job and it'll do this and it'll do that. And buddy, she's gone. It wasn't even her complaint, but she's the one that articulated it. Now she's out, buddy.
I don't know what your position is on it, Sam, but I'm sorry that she's fired. I mean, I've called me old-fashioned, called me whatever you want to call me.
Of course I'm sorry she's fired.
But, well, exactly. But and you can call me anything you want to, and there's nothing you can call me that I haven't been called, but I am one of those guys that thinks that we are more united if we have a common language, and I think that you should speak English if you are in America. And if you're in America and you were born here, there's no reason for you not to be speaking English. I don't care what language you're speaking. And if you chose to move here from wherever for a better opportunity or you're here for college, then you should do well enough to learn the language.
Now, here's what's interesting about this discussion. Whether you agree with James and me, and by the way, I agree with James. Let's be clear. Okay, I'm not backing away from this. I agree with James. However, I will say this. Whether you agree with this lady or not, she's basically saying, hey, two professors, I'm an assistant professor, but two professors came to me in secret and brought up their concerns about this. And I'm just telling you, Asian students, you need to speak English. You need to, okay? And she's saying this because she wants to help them get jobs and do well in their collegiate aspirations. So she brings this up. So when is she a racist for bringing this up? Or when is she helping people assimilate and have a commonality and a common culture and a way to work together? I think she's actually trying to help, James. I don't think she's being a racist. I think she's just saying, listen, there's professors that are going to dock your grades and treat you unfairly. Now, that's wrong. But you know what? You do need to speak English and assimilate into our society. And I'm telling you, it'll help you if you do. But she's the one that gets the axe.
Okay, but here's the problem we haven't focused on, Sam. And that is the chronic, you can call them snowflake, you can call them malcontents, just people who can't wait to be offended. And there's so many of them out there in America in this day and age. So many people want to be offended, and the very first thing that they can sink their teeth into and have a reason to complain, my God, they will take it and run with it like you've never seen. And that's what I'm seeing here. So somebody had to complain about this teacher, this professor, in order to get her fired. So was it the Chinese students? I mean, if I was a Chinese student, somebody said, you know what, for this reason, and this has been brought to my attention, I would take it. I would try to take it, I think, in the spirit that it was intended. And if I didn't see any malice and I didn't see her, you know, coming at me in a confrontational or in a negative way, if she sincerely was just trying to help, and I can guarantee you no white person is going to go out of their way to offend a non-white in this climate. So let's assume that she was doing it with good intentions.
I'm convinced why she would doing go, it with good intentions, and I'll tell you why. She's not even the one that brought this up.
No, right. It was the other people,
two professors that brought it up to her, and she's just going,
but
you know
somebody,
what?
Somebody or some group of people went and complained,
right,
and got this woman fired. And those are the people that are the true villains of this story.
I agree. Anyway, I defend this lady. I defend the point that you make, James. And that doesn't mean that I hate Chinese people. By the way, let's be very clear. If we had white students, or I don't care what color you are, but students that did not speak Chinese, and they were in a Chinese country, and they were going to college in what, Chinese? Then if they were running around speaking English super loud and going, hey, man, what up, cuz? And being super loud and running around, I would say they need to mellow out and speak Chinese if they expect to have a great prospect for jobs and an advancement in their collegiate efforts and then in their careers. And I would absolutely say that too, James.
Well, you know, and here's another thing. You're right, Sam, and I say that also. I'm not advocating that our people go and flood other countries like they're trying to flood our countries with other people who don't assimilate.
But I am advocating if you do go to their country, you should try to speak their language, though, buddy.
If for whatever reason, and I would always want to be around people, again, with whom I have the most in common that share my culture, and that's where I'm comfortable. But if I did, for whatever reason, have to go to China, now I'm not instantly going to set foot there and know the language. I mean, that's impossible. But I would try to adapt, you know, to their culture as much as I could out of a sign of respect that I'm in a host country and they're allowing me to be there and they're receiving me and I'm going to respect them. And I'm not going to go around, you know, wearing one of the rice paddy hats or anything like that. But no, I would be respectful and I would try to fit into their societal norms as much as possible.
Yeah, you'd actually have to study if you went to their culture and went to school, buddy.
Probably so. Yeah. I don't know what kind of studying is going on in these American universities now.
Well, I'm telling you right now, with all the melee that I see, it gets crazy. Now, Tom Brokaw melted down. Did you see this, James?
I saw where he apologized for something, right. And I think we may have run into him when we were in Cleveland, but what was up?
So let me break this down for you. I mean, this is just insanity, and this just illustrates the problem big time. Tom Brokaw found himself backpedaling, they say, Sunday night after comments he made about Hispanics. It came under fire. I am sorry. I am so truly sorry.
That's
my
sick.
Comments were offensive to many. The Star said he added that the great enduring American tradition of diversity is to be celebrated and cherished. In another tweet, he wrote, I feel terrible about my part in the comments on Hispanics that it offended some people of that truly great culture. Yeah, he was on Meet the Press, ladies and gentlemen, when the horrible comments came. I'll break it down just for you in seconds. We'll get James Edwards' response. Long form talk radio at your fingertips.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Anger boiling over after four Houston police officers were shot in the line of duty on Monday. A Houston Police Officers Union president says,
"We are sick and tired of having targets on our back."
Union President Joe Grimaldi speaks after two of those four officers are critically wounded, two others lesser so, but still hospitalized. The two suspects were killed at the scene, and Grimaldi says,
"We are sick and tired of having dirtbags trying to take our lives when all we're trying to do is protect this community and protect our families."
Midwest and Great Lakes states will feel it first, but the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and the South will be feeling the effects of a polar vortex. In some areas, wind chills are going to be below 50 below zero. Over 1,000 flights have already been canceled because of the weather from this system. And this is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
U.S. Senate Democrat Richard Blumenthal partnering with Republican Senator Chuck Grassley on bipartisan legislation to require release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's final report on Russian interference in the 2016 election to Congress and the public. Blumenthal says people shouldn't be surprised that Republican Grassley is with him on it.
There's a really simple idea behind it, which is the public's right to know. He and I have worked on other legislation that involves transparency and full disclosure.
Blumenthal, who spoke there on MSNBC, says he's optimistic the bill will pass. Meanwhile, President Trump's former associate Roger Stone is reportedly planning to plead not guilty today in a D.C. federal courtroom in the Mueller probe after previously saying the case against him is a raw abuse of power. He's charged with lying to Congress and witness tampering. A New York City woman is recovering after getting stuck in an elevator in a Manhattan townhouse from Friday till yesterday morning. This is USA Radio News.
All right, so my headline for this, is the headline I wrote. Racist Tom Brokaw melts down. The guy's a flat-out racist, James. You know this, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, okay, I don't know why they let him on the air for so long. Must have been a racist organization allowing that guy to be an anchor for so long. But nevertheless, racist Tom Brokaw melts down. They say this, and here's what I find fascinating about this. Two lines, in particular, drew plenty of attention. Now, they say this, Brokaw quoting others. So now, James, you're not even allowed to make these comments if you're quoting others.
Hey,
and you know
been there,
that
done that
full well, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah, well, just a quick story was years ago, I think it was 2007, maybe 2008, there was a writer for the Jamaican Observer. This is the newspaper, obviously, that services Jamaica. And he was a black writer, obviously. And he said something along the lines of that slavery was the greatest thing that happened to blacks because it allowed them access to Christian salvation and first world living. And even though they had to suffer some hardship through slavery, the people in European countries today, including America, are better off than their counterparts in Africa.
Now, let me be very clear before you go on. He was not endorsing slavery. What he was merely saying is even though it's a horrible series of events, the fact is, everybody is better off by embracing Christianity and embracing principles that make men free. That was his point, right?
That's right. And it was a black man who said it and talking about his fellow blacks. And I had you know how you copy and paste something and you give attribution to it and you put it in block quotes so you know it's a quote from somebody else. And I said something along the lines of that, you know, this man's very honest. This man's very honest. You know, it's refreshing to see someone be honest like this. And so that was way back in 07, 08. And then when the Donald Trump interview happened here on this radio network that Sam and I participated in.
What was that, in 2015?
That was 8 years later, at least 8 years later. And they had to figure out, well, how, you know, what is the most damning thing we can say about these guys to make, you know, Trump Jr. look like a fool? And they went back and they had to have gone back, you know, again, 8 years plus to find that one particular, and it was just a one-off blog entry where I quoted this guy or put his quote there and said, you know, he's very honest, very brave. And but the headline reads, you know, Donald Trump Jr. appears on interview with host who said slavery was the greatest thing that ever happened to black. And I'm not just talking about one or two outlets ran with that. It was pretty much universal. That was mentioned in just about
the
every.
The problem is it's a lie, though. You never said slavery was the greatest thing that ever happened to blacks.
And there's no way they could have looked at that blog post and honestly believed that I did. But they didn't give a damn. They just said, "Well, we're CBS, we're ABC, we're CNN, we're all of the, and who are you? We're going to tell our story. And yeah, the truth's on your website, but how many people are really going to go there? Yeah, you're going to talk about it on your show, but how many people are really going to listen to it?" And they were right, of course, about that. I mean, we set the record straight and we told the truth. But so many more people obviously believed the lie because they didn't go and do their own research.
Anyway, amazing. So here's what Tom Brokaw did. He dared to quote others as you did. And he got slaughtered for it. The problem that I have with Tom Brokaw is he melted down and just quadruple apologized instead of standing up and saying, "No, you're on crack." You know what? I'm not a racist. I quoted, okay, here's the quotes. "On the Republican side, a lot of people see the rise of an extraordinary, important new constituent in American politics, that's Hispanics, who will come here and they will all be Democrats," said Brokaw. Now, think about that. Is that bad to say?
No.
Okay.
Come on.
Wait a minute. He's quoting other Republicans, though. He's not even saying that. That's the first problem. Second problem is, look, it is true. A bunch of illegals are coming to America, and they are all becoming Democrats. Okay? Can I even articulate a fact, James? This is not debatable.
No,
this is a fact.
No. No, you can't say that without it being racist. You can't say anything but unqualified praise for everyone who is not white and
I won't
unqualified
do it.
Condemnation for everybody who is. And that is the only way you can stay in the game.
All right. So then it gets worse, though, and this is where the real fire started. Tom Brokaw says, quote, "Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want brown babies." I mean, that's also a part of it, Tom said. Now, he's quoting others, though. "It's the intermarriage that's going on in the cultures that are conflicting with each other." When he said, well, let's get to his own view in just a second. So that's what he said that was related to other people's statements that he kind of quoted and parroted. Now, here's the problem. They say that none of us white people will have these discussions, James. We're afraid to discuss race openly and candidly and honestly. So Tom Brokaw quotes other people and he says, hey, other people are saying that all these illegals are coming. They're becoming Democrats. They don't want their babies brown. And he's quoting others and he gets just absolutely lambasted for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why white people don't want to talk about this. Well, I don't care if I get lambasted for this. These are legitimate concerns that people have. Whether you agree or disagree with those concerns, why can't we openly talk about them in a fair, honest, objective way? Okay, I have a problem with illegals voting. I don't care what color they are. I got a problem with it. And I got a problem with bringing people here illegally to become Democrats. Not because I care about the Democratic Party, but because they're manipulating the electorate towards an illegal agenda. All right. Now, what's interesting to me, too, though, is, hey, people are worried about the mixing of races. And by the way, you want to know who's worried about it the most? The people worried about it the most are people that are non-white, James, in leadership.
Well, anybody, honestly, again, if we appreciate the diversity of mankind, you know, this is where it becomes almost ironic, is that the people who want to maintain their cultural integrity are honestly the only ones who value true diversity. I mean, because if we become this amalgamated mass of humanity, where's the diversity in that? Where's the beauty in God's creation if we are all one people? And let me tell you something. You know, so much of what makes the different groups of people unique and special and wonderful is their difference. I want to see that maintained. I want to see it maintained for our people. I want to see it maintained for other people. I like the fact that there are Chinese people on this world. I like the fact that there's Japanese people. I like the fact that there's all these different people that have such vastly different cultures than my own, and we can appreciate that. That doesn't mean that they're better or that we're better, but that there is a diversity there. If everybody mixes, then you lose all of that.
Wow, imagine a guy speaking out like that. Now, are you allowed to say this without just the lightning rod? And that's the problem. Tom Brokaw's finding out that the answer is no. But instead of Tom Brokaw having a backbone and being a real man and saying, hey, man, you know what? I have every right to quote other people and bring up these concerns. You asked for a dialogue on this. We're going to have an open dialogue. Okay, but here's the problem. Then Tom had his own views. Can you imagine having your own views? One, you get beat up for quoting somebody else. Now you have your own views. And here's what he said for his own views. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. What do you think of that?
Imagine that. I mean, that's the most honest, truthful statement that somebody could have. If they're going to be here, they should assimilate. But what's so embarrassing, and it really is embarrassing, for 15 years, my motto on the radio has been no retreat, no surrender, no apologies, no apologies. Now, I apologize if I do something wrong, but I'm not going to apologize for saying what I believe in my heart. And for Tom Brokaw, I mean, how old is this guy? 70, 80 years old? I mean, what is he out there groveling for like that? I mean, have a little dignity, man. And that's the only thing they can't take from you is your integrity. Why grovel like that? I mean, that's so humiliating, so emasculating. I could never live as a man.
Well, and hold on.
Live like
why
that.
Wouldn't we want people to assimilate, though? Look, if somebody comes over here from Scotland or Ireland or England. I want them to assimilate too, James.
Well, they would have less assimilating to do because obviously so many people who founded this country came from there.
But I want them to assimilate too. And by the way, when they came, their goal was to assimilate. Back in the day,
well, that's true. We were starting something.
They assimilated.
Starting something new here. I mean, it is a little different because we get so much of what we are as Americans and our form of government from. You know, what we took from us, and most of the people who founded this country, especially in the South, were from Scotland and the British Isles and obviously England. I mean, that's where our people came from. So that's a little less of a stretch
Piers
of
Morgan
assimilation.
Couldn't
but sure.
He had to go back, buddy.
Who did?
Piers Morgan.
That's right. Yeah, Piers did have to go back.
All right. Right.
I mean, it was when he was trying to kill Alex Jones, though, is what happened.
All right. Now, listen to this, though. He says this, I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. And then he says this. That's one of the things that I've been saying for a long time.
I've never heard him say it.
Neither have I. But here's the question. If you've been saying this for a long time, how are you just going to quadruple down on an apology?
Well, that's the nature of the white man now, unfortunately, is they're not manly anymore.
He said,
for the most part,
they're not meant to just be codified in their communities. But we need to make sure that all their kids are speaking English and that they feel comfortable in the communities. And that's going to take outreach on both sides, he says. Now, I look at that and I go, how do you apologize for it if you've been saying this for so long? What gives?
That was all very polite and well-reasoned. I mean, there wasn't anything inflammatory or controversial in that.
Of not course. What would happen if you let Tom Brokaw say that and then you let James Edwards say he appreciates the Chinese and they have an equal culture and they have every right to their culture too? What would happen if we all actually had an open dialogue and got along?
I tell you what, things wouldn't be falling apart. America is ripping apart at the seams over racial tension, and it's because of the current climate that does not facilitate healthy debate. We will become balkanized.
Quick pause. On your radio.
So you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Donald Trump did have a little more guts than Tom Brokaw. Donald Trump, to journalist, I'm not a racist. Your question is racist. I appreciate Donald speaking out and at least saying that. Donald doesn't cuck or melt down as much as some of them. But I don't think Donald stands up near as bold as he ought to. Do you want to respond to this, James?
Well, the only thing I can say is, well, first of all, I appreciate that intro music. That song actually came out the month of my birth, June 1980. That was, what is it, The Land Down Under?
What is that, a white supremacist
Minute Work,
song?
I believe. I had it. Well, they're white people, so, you know, there's some trouble there somewhere. But, yeah, but anyway, besides that, no, Donald Trump is better than most when it comes to the incessant apologizing. I mean, he's taken, seemingly more fire, more withering from the media than any 100 men. That are out there today. He takes it every day. He takes it incessantly. And unless this is all just some sort of a pageant act and he's in on the act and he's just playing this part, I mean, if this is real, he has taken more heat than anybody I know times a lot. And he's the president of the United States. And you know why he's the president of the United States? Because he took it during the campaign. If he had done what everybody else does, I call it the white wimp shuffle, you know, Tom Brokaw, one of the latest examples. And he started apologizing. I mean, people don't respect that. Your enemies don't respect that. Your enemies love it when you do that because they know they've got you beat. They've got you submissive. And by the way, it doesn't buy you any favor. They just continue to pour it on. You're still everything they said you were. Your apology doesn't absolve you of that. You're just a wimp who is everything that they said you were instead of a man who's willing to fight for what he believes in and go down with it if he has to. But whatever he does, he's not going to apologize. So, yeah, Trump is – for all of his faults, Trump is much better about not apologizing for the media's never-ending list of grievances.
But I find everything it interesting. He melted down, though, when it came to James Edwards. He couldn't stand the heat, poor Donald. But I look at James Edwards and I say, James just said that he's against slavery. He said that he wants other races to have their own culture and their own people, and he's glad they exist and have their own ways and life and things. He said that he's not saying any race is better than one another. He said, okay, I look at that and I say, this is long form radio that takes this. If you use a soundbite, you can slaughter anybody. But you got a Minnesota House rep in the 2018 elections. He was a candidate and he used the N word to describe himself in a campaign ad. Did you see this?
Was he black or white?
Well, he's black. Otherwise, he couldn't use it, my friend.
that's true. Touche. No, I didn't see
this.
That. I did not see
okay,
that.
Okay, this guy uses the N-word. Well,
they've already got that. They've already got that, you know, answer. They can use it, but we can't. It's not offensive when they use it. It's only
he
offensive
says,
when we do.
I want to be – listen to what he said. I don't know if I can do this right here, but he said this. To describe himself in a campaign ad released in early August, so this is a little bit old, but I'm bringing it up for a reason. He says this. I want to be your state representative. I want to be your public servant. And I want to be your N-word.
I might have voted for him.
Right. Now, what they're going to say, he says this. The reason he used the, quote, racist slur is he says he wants people to really focus on the issues at hand.
Well, good luck with that.
He said we need to we need to heal as a society and stop dealing with trivial matters. I agree with him. Look, I don't support the N-word because I think it's derogatory, okay? But my point is, if somebody makes a mistake, if somebody slips at the tongue and says Martin Luther King Day, and they don't mean to, they mean King Day, and they got tongue-tied, is it really shut them completely down and just ruin their life? What about this guy that says this and says, we got to stop these trivial matters? And okay, Donald Trump has not said the N-word, but they're still looking for the soundbite where he has. But Barack Obama said it. I've been playing the soundbite for a couple of years now. And okay, now we're not going to deal with that. Okay, when are we going to deal with this and say, look, the N-word's bad. You shouldn't use it. Got it. But if somebody uses it, that doesn't mean that their whole life should be over.
Okay, all right, so that's the thing.
These trivial matters here. He's right, James. But if I say so that now, I'm a racist, and this guy's fine. Just like the slave comment with this black guy that you mirrored. You know, hey, you're slaughtered for it. But I think this candidate, this Minnesota House candidate, is spot on, and he's using the N-word to make the point. I have to agree with him, James.
Well, I'll respect anybody that'll buck societal norms, especially this society. You're right in that if ever a white person said this word, and I'm like you, I mean, it's not something that I use in my daily speak because, I mean, why be rude? I mean, you don't have to be rude. It doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't serve any purpose. So we try to treat everybody with equal respect. But if someone did say it, that doesn't define their entire life. This whole thing, like we're kindergarten, ooh, the N-word. Well, you can say the F-word, you can say GD, you can say anything on public television now, but the N-word, you know, we gotta spell that one out. And that doesn't define a person's life. But we're in a society now, Sam, this brings it into sharp focus. A person says the N-word, they are a pariah. They are cast out of polite society for the rest of their lives. On the other hand, you can go up in New York and you can murder your baby the day he's going to be born, and that's great. You know, so you can actually – saying the N-word is worse than committing murder. Now, I know they call it abortion, but it's murder. Let's not kid ourselves. It's murder, and you can murder a baby, and you're a better person in society's eyes than somebody who says the N-word in any context, whether you mean it to be demeaning, whether you're quoting someone who said it, whether you're reading a quote, whatever the case and in whatever context, you are a worse person than someone who kills their own children.
Well, and that's kind of the point. You know, that's why I say what's worse. You know, a black this or that, a white supremacist, an abortionist. You know, you got to really think through this. And for some reason, abortionists are fine. But if somebody believes that, hey, they want to, protect their race or stand for their cause or their people, or then somehow they're evil, even if they're not advocating the downing of anybody else.
That's it.
It's amazing, but it'll get worse. All right, James, you got a couple of stories to focus on, right?
Well, let's end today's show on a good note. There's a headline here. 1,000 journalists have been laid off in the mainstream media just this week, Sam. 1,000 journalists laid off in the mainstream media. A lot of them, 250, were from BuzzFeed. Now, BuzzFeed is one of these entities, of course, that's relatively new. They cast themselves as sort of a new media, but they say the exact same things that you can get from the oldest of the old media, ABC, NBC, CBS. I mean, it's no difference. There's no diversity of thought from what you will get in BuzzFeed and what you will get from CNN or any of the other conglomerates. They do the exact same thing, just under a different name. They have the exact same views on all the issues as all of the other media. But anyway, they laid off a little under 300 employees this week. Now, BuzzFeed only generated $300 million in revenue in 2018. So I guess that wasn't enough to keep the employees on. $300 million in revenue for an online clickbait site, basically. And one of the people, Blake Montgomery, said, I've been laid off from BuzzFeed News. Like so many of my brilliant colleagues, drop me a line if you got a job for me. But this is one of the most honest tweets I have seen. This is for someone who was laid off by the Associated Press this week, Sam. His name is Landon Hall. And he says, I miss being in the game. I miss knowing things before others do, and I miss meeting people. I miss scaring the expletive out of people just because I call them and tell them where I work. So this laid-off so-called journalist misses thought policing and intimidating ordinary people. So this just, again, goes to illustrate how these so-called journalists have become nothing more than commissars, nothing more than the enforcers of political correctness, nothing more than mouthpieces for political correctness. But 1,000 of them have been laid off, and I'd like to see 1,000 more. I have dealt with these people for 15 years, almost to a man or woman. They are liars. They are. If they are not personally evil, they go along with the absolute butchering of honest, good people, people such as ourselves. Now, I'm not saying we're the best or that we're better than anybody else, but I can tell you from knowing you, you are a good family man. I am a family man. I try to live the life the best way that I can, and I've seen how the treatment is. And this isn't a woe is us. We've been treated bad. But I'm just saying, if that's how you make your living, if somebody's got to get laid off, let it be these people.
Well, and that's why I say that, you know, if people believe in God, family, and country, and they protect life, liberty, and property, and they understand these issues where it's like, hey, you know what, you can celebrate your culture, I'll celebrate mine, you know what, that we're free to do that, that's true diversity, that's true kindness and Christian view, we're all God's children, let's act like it, and for that, we get beat up relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is why? And then I try to talk about it, and they go, you're a racist, you shouldn't talk about it, and then they run around and say white people won't talk about it.
Well, we see that. Well, we talk about it here, and we pay all the price for it, but somebody's got to talk about it. I mean, you've got to have an honest conversation somewhere, sometime, some venue. And if none were ever going to present themselves, well, we've got one here. Thank God, and thank God for Sam Bushman. But I did see where the kid in Kentucky, the young Mr. Sandman, I don't even recall his first name now, who had the confrontation with, he was standing there when the Indian guy confronted him with his war drum, and he is now suing some of the media for libel. And to that, I would say, good luck, kid. Again, been there, done that.
But he's tougher than Donald. At least he's doing it, not just talking about it.
Yeah, Donald's the one who said during the campaign in 16, we're going to loosen the libel laws, we're going to sue these people, we're going to make lots of money. You play it on the network.
Yeah, I just wish
that hasn't happened. He hasn't sued them. I have. This 16-year-old kid has. But good luck to him because it's gonna be tough.
What do you call him, Nick Sandman? What do they call this guy? They call him the MAGA hat wearing Christian. Is that what he is?
No, they don't call him the Christian, the MAGA hat wearing white supremacist, the white white privilege, the face of white privilege, whatever that is. And I still don't, I honestly don't know what white privilege is, because if your parents worked and they gave you a leg up in life because they went to work every day and they provided you a good home and you have a stable home and you have parents who love you and they take you to church, is that privilege because your parents did right by you? I mean, maybe it is, but are we supposed to feel bad about that?
Well, and Donald Trump defended them, and I appreciate his tweets in defense of these Catholic students and all that kind of stuff, and I believe Nick Sandman was wronged. The mainstream press showed their true evil colors on this, no doubt. But what I don't understand is this. What is Donald really doing for this Make America Great Again hat-wearing Christian?
He needs to go to the school. You know, this is where he needs to be. I mean, this is just another battle in the so-called culture war. Not only does he need to have them at the White House, he needs to go and give a rally at their high school gym. That's what he needs to do. Somebody needs to stand up for this community. Because, you know, honestly, the school wouldn't even stand up for itself before the facts came in that completely exonerated this guy's story and exonerated the kids. The school, the bishops, the diocese of this Catholic school, they all rolled over on their own kids and apologized for them. They didn't even do anything wrong.
Why doesn't Donald use this as an opportunity to dismiss the mainstream press? You have proven yourselves so evil, so hate-filled, so dishonest, so immoral, so biased, so to where I've got to dismiss you and bring in the new media that'll be honest and fair and open about these things. Why doesn't Donald double down and get that done?
Because it's one thing to do it to grown men like me and you. They're doing it to this kid, and his life is forever going to be altered because of what the media did. No, make no mistake about it. Donald Trump needs to dismiss the media. He needs to go and have a MAGA, Make America Great Again rally at the Covington High School gym. That's what he needs to do.
I guess Donald won't hold a rally, but I guess I will. I'll just put one together. How's that? What do you think of them apples, folks?
Hey, you've done it before, Sam.
I can do it again, too. Thanks for being alongside with the ride, James Edwards. We appreciate you, sir. Godspeed. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his award-winning talk show every Saturday night, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, live and on demand at your fingertips. You can also get his book, Racism, Smashism. I mean, it makes the point like no other. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Thanks, James.
Love you, Sam. Thank you.
God save the Republic of the United States of America.